Well, hello there, friend. Thank you so much for giving us a listen. If you've joined us before, welcome back. You've no idea how great it is to have you with us again. If this is your first time, well, then I'm David Keem, and along with my co-host Jen, I sit down every week with friends, old and new, to chat about whatever. This week, our first ever listener sits down in the Loose and Conversational podcast studio to chat about religion, sex, like her ex-boyfriends, her husband, and a bunch of other stuff. Marissa's her name, and oddly enough, non-alcoholic beverages are her game. Don't fret, though. Jen and I are going old school with our beverage choices. She's drinking vodka slimes, or vodka specials, as we called them where I come from, and I'm drinking the best thing to come out of 1998, big, fat, white Russians. This is going to be the first part of a two-parter, with the second part coming in a few days. There is this pandemic, you see, and we are looking at being forced to take a pause in recording soon. Our plan is to turn the next two guests into two-part episodes, and hopefully we can get back to recording weekly soon. Last thing before we get started, if you enjoy listening to this podcast, and if you enjoy having a few drinks, and if you say funny things when you've had a few drinks, or you say embarrassing things when you've had a few drinks and you're okay with us putting it on the internet, have you considered being a guest? If you're in the Edmonton area, Edmonton, Alberta, that is, let us know because we'd love to have you as a guest. If you aren't from around here, let us know anyway. We're hoping to put together a road trip or two once it's safe to do so. You can contact us through the website or catch our email at the end of the show or find me on social media. I don't know. It's 2020, man. I'm sure you can find me. My name's David Keem. Whatever works. All right, hit it.
Welcome to the Loose and Conversational Podcast.
Maybe we'll dispense with the old rolling start.
I do like the rolling start, but anyways, carry on.
Do you?
Yeah. I mean, let's try. What's the only thing we've done? So try something different.
Yeah. So welcome to episode 5, everybody.
5.
This is crazy.
With our original listener.
With our original listener. Yeah, you've heard us refer to her. Marissa. We'll introduce her in a second. This week we went live on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're still working on Stitcher and Google Podcasts. They seem to be a little harder to get onto. But in the beginning, we were hoping 10 people would listen. And as of this morning, after what, 1 day or 2 days?
2 days.
2 days, 170 people have listened. So that's fantastic.
So Marissa is no longer the only listener.
No, we're no Joe Rogan, but 170 is a lot more than 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for listening. We're really excited. Today we are dispensing a little bit from our usual routine of having drinks.
We have our friendly neighborhood Mormon on.
Yeah. And she does not drink alcohol, but she's a lot of fun anyway. And we decided this week, we had another guest scheduled, and we canceled him because COVID-19 is going crazy. Yeah. So you're probably wondering, well, what's so special about Marissa? She is resistant to disease because she's Mormon. Or so she tells us.
Yeah.
She says that actually being in close proximity to us makes because we're close to a Mormon now, makes us less likely to catch COVID-19.
And more likely to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's apparently why Mormons still continue to have big parties.
Yeah, it's actually just like those lanyards that they're using in India.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so we pretty feel...
You're our lanyard. So as long as you're within a couple meters or 6 feet of us, then we are protected.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But we jest, because we don't do this remotely. Yeah. We are distanced, generally speaking, like when we had Amanda last week. But people still have to come in. They have to sit down. They have to order a drink. And actually, the gentleman who was going to do it, JF, was more than happy to come in. And we said, maybe just give it a little bit.
We don't know where he's been.
Yeah, we don't know where he's been. And he doesn't really know where we've been.
Yeah.
And since the place we live in is on this 2 week settle the fuck down thing, we thought, well, we'll wait 2 weeks before we bring anything. So we all work together. But we also have the workplace broken out into cohorts. So Jen was like, we really have to keep going. We should really record a podcast this week.
We have 170 listeners. We can't.
Yeah, we can't let you guys down. Yeah. Right? And once we go on Google Podcasts, that'll probably add another 5.
Well, and I've already told my sons that I'm working on my fame. So
yeah. So you guys don't let Jen's kids down. You got to make her famous.
They'd prefer I was a YouTube star, but we'll settle for this.
Yeah. Maybe this is a stepping stone.
Maybe.
Yeah. You bought an Xbox. Now you should start.
That's a Christmas gift.
Like the kids are going to listen.
Well, they probably won't.
Yeah. So our cohort here, the people I consider to be within my work cohort, which is one of the three we're allowed to have.
I refer to it as the A-team.
Yeah, the A-team is myself, Jen, Kylie, and Marissa, and Marcy, who's not here this week.
Yeah.
So that was like, well, hey, let's drag Marissa in here. And we will ignore the fact that she doesn't drink. So we are feeding her slightly sugary beverages, hoping the sugar high will get her.
And some caffeine.
Yeah.
Caffeine and sugar, which are, you know, Mormon no-nos.
Yeah, but we've had great discussions half drunk with her before, and she's always been able to keep up, and she's tons of fun.
Yeah. And interesting, I don't know if Marissa will get into it, but she doesn't drink because she's a Mormon. She doesn't drink for other reasons. So, although Mormonism...
Although I think people would want her to know that she doesn't drink because she's Mormon.
Right, it's because she's Mormon. Yeah, she follows all the Mormon rules to any Mormon
all of them.
Police that are listening.
She's annoying with how observant she is of Mormon rules.
Yeah.
I know quite a bit about Mormons, not just because of you. I know you, but I also saw that musical by the guys who made South Park.
So
I'm not an expert. I've been to Lethbridge a couple of times.
I mean, musicals, yeah. What are they called, rules or commandments? Like, I mean, obviously they're commandments for me, but what are they for you?
So there are the Ten Commandments, which are...
They're the same as mine?
The more universal ones.
So thou shalt not kill.
Yeah, be kind to your neighbor, honor thy father and thy mother.
Don't covet thy neighbor's wife.
Yeah, all
that. Can you covet thy neighbor's husband?
Or your neighbor's ass? That's my favorite one.
Oh, is that the sin you hold on to?
Well, I remember once I was staring at my neighbor bent over, and my grandmother was like, stop it, you're coveting her ass.
Oh, I'm glad it was a her.
Well, for the podcast, it's a her.
The commandments don't say anything about a him. So as long as I'm not coveting my neighbor's wife.
Do you think you can name all the commandments?
Probably not.
Do you think as a group we can?
Maybe.
Okay, kill.
Neighbor's
steal,
wife.
Steal. Lie.
Covet.
Neighbor's wife. False witness. Yeah, we've got five.
Marissa, you're 50%. The one who goes to church frequently. So.
C's and D's get degrees, as you say.
That's what I say.
We got five.
I really should have brushed up before I came in here. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
I didn't realize we'd be talking about Mormon stuff.
Of course we are.
So say a couple things about yourself there, Marissa. I almost called you Melissa.
Should I do my run through the dating profile if I was single?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, my name's...
Oh, honor thy father and thy mother.
Yeah, she said that.
Oh, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Yeah, that's more of a recommendation.
Oh, thou shalt not covet the neighbor's house and the neighbor's wife, apparently.
And his ass.
And their slaves, animals, or anything else. So that would be where the ass falls into it.
Or maybe that's adultery.
I am thy Lord, my God.
That's false witness, isn't it?
Thou shalt not have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make...
Lord of Vain, name of Vain. That's one too, right?
Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave image, which is probably... Oh, and thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord in thy God in vain. Oh, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways.
Is your Sabbath day Sunday?
Yeah.
So your dating history before you became married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You almost said Mormon.
I did. Well, because you kind of went away from Mormon for a little while, or maybe not away, but took a powder.
Do you have like a Mormon rum springer?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
No, I mean.
You should though, right?
We have that. I'm a Roman Catholic. Do you know what we call Roman Catholic rum springer? Adulthood.
I was going to say spring break. Yeah.
Yeah, no, life.
Yeah, no. I have also been told to correct you guys. I'm not a Mormon.
Oh.
I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So who told you to correct us?
My younger brother, Connor.
Oh, Connor.
Yeah.
Thanks, Connor.
As long as you're not preachy.
I told him yesterday I was going on and he jumped in.
That's just such a mouthful.
How's that?
So it's what's good. The difference?
It's tough though. It's tough to remember talking
what's
about.
What's the difference between a Mormon and what you just said?
We've always been members of the Latter-day Saints, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of the more common LDS.
But LDS has the stigma to it, doesn't it?
Well, I think Mormon kind of has the stigma. What happened was we have the Book of Mormon. So
yeah.
It's another book on top of the Bible. Another testament of Jesus Christ, I guess. And because that's something that we're really known for, I mean, even here we've got Books of Mormon or Book of Mormons, depending on where you put the S, in all of our guest rooms.
Well, we used to. We don't anymore.
Oh, when did that change?
When we removed paper from our rooms.
COVID.
Because of COVID. We took the Bible out. We took the Book of
COVID
Mormon out.
COVID took religion out of the hotel.
We took the in-room dining menu out.
I think
COVID that's the one I miss the most, the in-room dining
menu. Yeah, guess which one people have asked about.
I think COVID took religion out of a lot of things.
Yeah, sure did.
Where's my Wear magazine? That's a little more common than where did my Book of Mormon go?
Yeah, I'm going to ask next time I stay at the hotel.
For your Book of Mormon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on page 271. I stay at Marriott's just so I can keep this going.
I can't afford to buy my own book, so.
So how's the Book of Mormon different than the Bible?
It's just another testament, so they kind of intertwine.
It's like the trilogy? It's like the end?
Well,
they wrap things up?
Not the end. I mean, it keeps keeps going. We've got modern day prophets. One of them spoke today and gave a message of hope. So,
oh, at least there's hope in the world.
Yeah. Did you tune in?
I did not. I was working very hard for you.
We would have given you 10 minutes off or however. How long does he speak when legally, he speaks for?
Yeah. And legally, we have to sort of give you room to, you know, be religious. So, I mean, if you had said, I need to attend this.
And does he actually speak or does he tweet it? Or?
And what was the message?
Well, I don't know. Just said a message of hope. I haven't listened to it yet. So.
Well, then how do we know it's really hopeful? I mean, Trump tweets messages of hope all the time, but it's not really hope.
Well, I guess a lot of people on social media this week, you'll see they're posting 7 days of what they're grateful for.
Oh.
And that was challenged by him in that talk. So,
what are you grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful to be working here with you guys.
So when you say he challenged it, he said you shouldn't be doing that, or he said everybody should be doing it?
No, he threw it out and said, you know, here's a challenge. Let's see if you guys can do it. See how many people will put it out there.
Focus on the good, which is a good message to put out there. I think even David and I have talked over the last few months how little hope there seems to be in the world right now. So I think it's a great message to have people practice it.
You're probably assuming I'm going to disagree with you.
No.
I am going to disagree with you. I am anti-hope.
You're anti-hope.
I am, 100% I am.
Why is that?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. I am a firm believer in the belief that everybody should remain present and hope. There's no difference between hope and regret in my books.
Interesting.
Because hope is, you're not present, you're not really dealing with the here and now, and you're not trying to find happiness in the moment. You're hopeful that someday it'll be better. And nine times out of 10's people's lives, what does hope turn into?
Disappointment.
So what happens if there is no good in your life in that particular moment?
I was going to say, just to dovetail on that a little bit, like for me, having hope helps me stay present, because I think if I didn't have hope in the future, then what's the point of being present now? So for me, hope helps me stay more present and less spirally and more engaged, I guess I should say. Because if you're not hopeful for me, I'm not engaged in the present. I'm just spinning in like this deep despair, which means I'm not engaged in my present life.
But hope in my mind creates anxiety and it creates despair, because you're not practicing intentional happiness in the moment. You're saying, well, everything's terrible now, but if this and this happen, look how great things are going to be.
But it lightens my mood in the moment. Like it makes me lighter in the moment. So I disagree.
But you know what else would lighten your mood in the moment?
Alcohol?
Gratitude.
Oh.
I was going to say a great diet.
A great diet.
Well, no, not a great
I'm
diet.
I'm fucked.
I have never been happier because I was eating well.
I was going to say COVID, I really embraced not eating well, and that's working for me, sort of, you know?
I just thought it would really lighten you, you know?
Yeah, if only it would lighten me. I've gained the COVID-20 during the COVID-19. And I mean, I said that 3 months ago, so who knows where
I think
now.
We all have.
Yeah. Not Marissa.
Ooh.
Ooh.
You haven't?
I've just been wearing really great sweaters to cover it.
I want to, like, I ask people all the time, it's like, do you know anybody who's thriving in COVID? Like, who's working out, who's lost weight, who's, you know, doing really well?
In the initial lockdown, a lot of people lost weight. And they actually, there was a few things written about why they lost weight. And it's interesting because, and I know there's a million different opinions on this, but if people are interested, you should read up on it. Long bouts of not very strenuous activity is apparently a great way to lose weight. One of the reasons is you never stress your body. So what happened during the initial lockdown, the only thing people could do was walk, and they were, you know, they wanted to kill the people in their house and they were bored, so they would get out and start walking. And I started talking to people, like actually Mintu, who I talked to yesterday. He was one of the guys who just went and started walking and walking and walking. He lost like tons of weight.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because we all do all these really super strenuous things and you stress your body and you get cortisol and you got to be really careful. That's when you got to watch your diet and you got to do all these other things. When really, if you just go for really long walks, the reason people generally don't do that, who has the time?
Well, now it's winter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are people going to do now that it's winter?
Anyway, so you're a prophet. You have a modern prophet. How many prophets are there?
Only one at a time.
And how do you get that job?
Yeah, that's a great question. Can I become the prophet?
No.
Oh, if I kill the other guy, can I become the prophet?
I'm thinking that's not how that works.
Well, how does it work?
A little bit. It's a succession because he has counselors, but there's a whole group of people that get together and they pray about it and they ponder it and then they decide who they think would be best based on what they're told from God.
But then do they vote?
I believe normally it's unanimous, but I've never been part of it.
Does everybody gather and look at the smoke from the chimney? That's what we do.
They read the tea leaves.
No, we have the smoke when they'll all vote.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And I believe they throw the votes into the fireplace. And so you know there's been a vote when you see smoke come from the chimney.
Yeah.
And I think if the smoke is white, they've chosen a new pope.
Interesting. So that's
so top that LDS.
What a huge responsibility to be thrust upon as prophet.
Well, and it's a lot more than just looking after the church. You have to think that the church is a multi-million dollar organization that owns banks and businesses and land and mountains.
Prophet's right? In charge of all that.
Yeah.
Did you say and mountains?
Yes.
How do you own a mountain?
They own a mountain that they own a number of mountains, but one of them is a giant safe inside.
What's in the safe?
Really? Or is this like myth?
No, it's...
Like, can you travel to the safe mountain and go on a tour?
It's full of genealogy, mostly.
Why would you put genealogy in a safe?
So that you have record.
And what is it? Like,
what is what?
Like, what's actually in there? Like, cheek scrapings or like... or like...
Maybe just a book of... Everyone?
Yeah, I think it's just paper of different people's trees.
Oh, not DNA.
No.
Oh, just like a bunch of family trees.
Yeah
like you'd want to lock that up because people are going to want to steal family trees.
So I know with LDS, obviously there's offshoots of LDS.
Let's just get this out in the open. They're lying to you if they're telling you that they have a safe in a mountain so that they can keep family trees.
I
mean,
I believe they have a safe in the mountain. It's probably not.
Yeah, it's got gold or something in it.
Or a
really rare mineral that's used for time travel or something.
Science experiments or not science
or
experiments.
Or Jesus in a cage. Yeah.
I picture like all the fairy tales that you're told as a kid with the giant dragon that guards it.
Yeah.
There's a giant dragon guarding the family trees.
That's what she pictured.
Oh, you made that up. Oh, yeah. You got me. Oh, you got me.
Do you believe everything that's in the Bible, David? No. I mean, maybe.
I equally believe everything that's in the Bible. I don't.
So this dragon, what if he were to, you know.
Imagine if there were dragons in the Bible. It would be so much better.
What is there in the Bible that's like exciting and good?
An ass that gets tied to a tree and can go really stretchy.
Well, I mean.
Ass? You mean like a donkey?
There's a verse that says, and he tied his ass to a tree and walked the space of many miles. And so I think he just had a really big butt.
Well, I mean, that's quite possible.
Yeah, that's probably the ass they meant. Actually, there is Deuteronomy 27, I think, something like that, where it talks about all the blessings that people who believe in God basically will get and follow his rules. And then it's followed up with all the terrible things that are going to happen if you don't follow his rules. And the good things that will happen to you is like a page and a half. And the bad things that will happen to you is like 8 pages. And it just, it's like a rant. It just goes on and on and on.
It's because religion is so like negative reinforcement, right?
Well, let's ask the LDS person here. Or Marissa. Oh, she's looking at her phone. She's Googling what's in the mountain.
No, there's also one. It's my dad's favorite scripture, but I just thought it should be your new favorite scripture. But it says, and my father dwelt in a tent. And I feel like that's kind of
I'd love to dwell in a tent. Yeah. could you know what? They should update that. I don't know the last time the Bible was updated.
I don't know either.
But it does get updated from time to time. And if they changed I dwelled in a tent to I dwelled in a 27-foot travel trailer.
No. You should put that on your resume. Prophet who dwells in 27-foot trailer.
Yeah, just add things. Prophet.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to argue with you and say, no, you're not a prophet.
Actually, how do people in the LDS church spell prophet?
I don't think it's P-R-O-F-I-T, if that's what you're asking.
I think it's, I bet you it is.
I was going to say,
I bet you when the Marriotts get together, or what are some other like big LDS families that have a lot of money? Like the Marriotts are...
Members.
Okay, I'm just going to start calling it Mormon again because I can't. Like, I feel like
is there like a nickname at least? Like, what are the initials of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Like, what do
LDS.
Oh, LDS. I guess. Yeah, okay.
But I'm worried people will tune in and they'll be like, what the hell are they talking about? LDS.
Well, there's obviously different offshoots. I guess not really offshoots of LDS, but there's sub. I guess, how would you describe the other?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about the weird ones.
The other group of people.
Which version of the LDS can you not stand? First off, do you have the underwear on right now?
Yes.
You do? You wore it for the podcast? That's fantastic.
What underwear?
What? The magic underwear.
What's the magic underwear?
I will allow Marissa to explain.
Do you want me to take that? It's not magical.
Oh.
So I'm sorry to...
That's disappointing.
To burst that bubble.
I could use some magical underwear.
Well, do you want to get baptized?
No.
What? Yeah, how bad do you want magical underwear?
Okay, carry on.
It's very similar to how... Some religions wear crosses or some wear Head coverings, face coverings.
Well, except anyone's allowed to wear a cross.
I mean,
and
I guess
you can see the cross.
Yeah. So what is this underwear?
It is just kind of that. It's white.
It's not normal underwear.
It's white, kind of longer shorts and a little undershirt shirt.
If you imagine the underwear that Mr. Rogers would wear, it's that.
So do you wear underwear under the underwear?
Oh, that's a good question.
I do not.
So you are freestyling under these shorts.
Yeah.
So what if what if there was a LDS member that had really big boobs? I'm speaking of a woman. Would she wear a conventional bra under the magical underwear or over the magical
Where
underwear?
Where do you put the wings on the pad?
I do not wear pads. But if I did...
Yeah, who does?
I do.
Then really? I would people just wear underwear underneath as well.
Oh, okay. Or but just switch for that it out. Week.
Just that
so
week.
You'd wear two pairs of underwear?
Yeah, or I'd switch it out.
I mean, when you wear shorts, you wear underwear, no?
What am I doing?
I don't know. Going to work?
I'm wearing shorts under my pants?
Mowing the lawn. No, like if you're wearing shorts, you're usually wearing underwear under your shorts, yeah?
Almost never.
Oh, God.
What? Why?
I just had a visual. It was terrifying.
What was in that visual, John?
Should I leave?
My shorts aren't that short.
No, you don't have to go anywhere. My sister's not here this week.
Yeah, no. I wear board shorts. You don't wear underwear with board shorts.
I guess, but like when you're wearing your kilt, your like fucking man kilt or whatever you call that thing. Utility kilt.
My utility kilt.
Yeah. Do you wear underwear underneath that?
Yeah, of course I do. Like, yeah, of course you do.
Yeah, okay.
You have a skirt?
It's a kilt.
You know what? It is the greatest piece of clothing I own. So it's basically a kilt, but it's made out of the same stuff like Carhartts are made out of.
Hmm.
Right? Duck cloth or whatever they call it.
Where did you buy this thing?
My ex-wife had it made for me. So there was a, you can buy them. They're called, this isn't a real utilikilt. It's a knockoff, but there is a company, I think out of Seattle that makes utilikilts, which are basically these things. And they have like pockets in them and they're basically workwear. No, they are. They're for like just like Carhartts, right?
I don't know. There's a
little place to hang your tools and stuff like that from it.
So, but it's like a skirt?
It's a kilt.
So why would you choose that over Carhartts?
Oh my God. Like if they had a thing where every guy had to, like they're comfortable to wear, but if you're just wearing it just to hang out, you're like, this is stupid and I feel awkward. You wear it to do work, like real actual work, or go hiking in, it's amazing. For the same reason I imagine you guys like wearing skirts.
Well, I do not like wearing skirts. Have you heard of the chubby chafe?
I have that.
Like, oh, really?
I couldn't go hiking with a skirt and no shorts underneath. Fuck, no.
No, I wear underwear under it. I wear like my regular...
I guess you have boxer briefs though, yeah. Right? So it's protecting you from the
chub rub. Yeah, but the air blows up and I get this nice cooling breeze. And did you ever see the picture when I went to...
I did see the picture.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I remember when you went...
It's a good picture of me too, eh? That's back when I was really in shape.
I remember when you... Was that the time when you met our coworker at Lowe's or whatever to help him with something and you showed up in your kilt?
No.
Oh, okay. I do remember seeing a picture.
No. Do you want to hear the story? It's a good story.
Yeah, I do.
So Sumit, he was a little... What's the word? Ignorant? And how to do... He wasn't very handy. And he bought a house and he needed to spread rocks like around one side of his house. So I helped him and a couple of us went over to give him a hand. And like, I don't know if he thought the rocks would match. It was like on a little bit of a hill. He thought they would magically fit. So we said, no, you got to get some 2x4s and we got to put them up there and we'll
make
sure
the rocks
against
them. Maybe if he was wearing magic underwear, they would
have. Or a kilt.
Or a kilt, yeah.
So then we called Jeet. So Sumit and Jeet. I'm not going to say what race they were, but...
But you can guess.
I said, you're going to need to get some 2x4s. And he says, well, Jeet's on his way here. Just call him to get some 2x4s. So I called Jeet. And you know what? You explained to two people who English is not their first language what a 2x4 is. So finally I said, look, I got frustrated. And I said, look, I'll just go. I'll go pick it up. I got my truck here. I'll go. So I drive to Home Depot. And as I'm getting out of my truck at Home Depot, it occurs to me I'm wearing an AC/DC t-shirt and my utilikilt.
That's what I was just said, that you were going to Lowe's. Sorry, I said Lowe's and not Home Depot.
But you said with a coworker. No, I was there by
assume
myself.
Assume it. But I was referencing this.
So time. I'm there. I actually took a picture of myself.
Yeah.
And it's, oddly enough, I think one of like the best pictures of me.
Well, you... If you had confidence in it, it'd be on your social media somewhere.
Did you get some looks?
It was on my, when I was on Match, it was one of my Match pictures. And it was the one I would get most commented on.
Commented like, how?
Like women would be like, why are you wearing an AC/DC t-shirt and a kilt?
Now, what is Carol Ann's opinion of this kilt?
She thinks it's funny. She likes it better than my muumuu.
Well, I would too. She really doesn't like the muumuu though.
She hates the muumuu.
I mean, who would like a man in a muumuu?
Would you?
I gotta say, I'm seeing David in a whole new light today.
It's better than David in a Speedo.
Yeah, wait till we get loose and conversational.
Yeah, David in a Speedo is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
What was it? We were in Mexico and you were wearing the Speedo and you bent over or something?
Oh, I'll tell that second. I want to finish telling my Home Depot story. Sorry. So I'm like, well, I'm here. I'll just fucking own it and I'll suck up and I'll go in. So I go in and I get the cart and I'm wearing my AC/DC t-shirt and my kilt, trying to pretend I'm not. And the best was at one point, I went into another aisle. I must have had to get nails or something.
Yeah, you went to get nailed.
Yeah, well, and it was the best. This lady walks into the aisle, starts walking down it, takes a look at me, 180s, leaves.
Kind of like the children on Halloween there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But just so obvious, eh? So that I went and paid and I left. And but I've gone hiking it. I went hiking in Hawaii wearing it, and it was awesome. Thank you. Awesome.
It's just one each, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, the underwear are magic?
They're not.
Oh.
It's just kind of a symbol of your devotion, I guess. Gotcha. That's why I was saying it was like kind of a similar to a cross.
Who was the prophet that says...
Some old white man, clearly. Dude, what do the men wear? Long underwear, too?
No, it's, yeah. It's the same thing, isn't
it? Oh, okay.
Yep.
So there's no, like,
what's sexism. How different is the women's and the men's?
The guys has a little peenie.
A peenie?
Section. Hey,
you know what that's for?
It's called a penis, Marissa. I think you can say penis.
So that you can pee without taking them off.
That is a common misconception. That's not what that's there for.
What's it there for? So you can
at least in regular men's underwear? You actually aren't supposed to, like... It's not a door for your wiener. What's it a door for then?
Only thing that fits through it.
It's so that you can move around and it won't bunch.
Oh, it's not for the little fairy to climb in there.
I would be interested. Actually, if you're a guy and you're listening to this, go to the website and comment whether you actually piss out the little door in your underwear or you just pull your underwear down.
Yeah, Jared told me that it was for peeing through. So
Jared does. So Jared wears the underwear all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your husband.
Why did you say it like that?
Because she finds it.
He's pretty devoted to it.
Do you find it attractive?
I mean, I don't find it as a turn on or a turn off.
Like, who's an actor, a male actor, aside from Jared? He's not a male actor. Who's a male actor you find attractive?
Wow. I mean,
yeah,
I
maybe grab, maybe grab the drinks while she's thinking about it.
I could list five like that.
Justin Timberlake.
You consider him an actor?
He does.
I consider him anything he wants.
Oh, so Justin Timberlake's your man.
Yeah.
Okay, so Justin Timberlake. You imagine him in the magic underwear. Does it make him more attractive or less attractive?
I think because I've been married for a while, I'm pretty used to it, and God. So it's the same.
It doesn't mean she's not attractive.
I think I'd be more attracted to him in any kind of bottom than just straight up naked. I don't know. That's not really my thing, but...
So you really paused before you could come up with an answer. Is this something you don't think about like I do?
Yeah, now that we've smelled blood, we're going to be relentless.
Well, so I like Adam Levine and Justin Timberlake. Those are my two men.
Okay.
But because he was so specific on actor, gotcha. I had to kind of think, is there somebody else that I'd want to put in there?
In JT's defense, he has acted. So, and he's actually not a bad actor. I mean, he's not a great actor, but he's better than Leo for sure.
What?
Oh, fights are starting.
No, I'm just a big Leonardo DiCaprio fan.
Yeah, she knows.
We've talked that to death.
She knows.
Maybe if we keep talking about him, he'll listen to the podcast.
Or come on the podcast.
We should start adding him and then mating. Maybe. Mating. Mating. We should start adding and mating him.
I don't understand what adding and mating him
means.
Well,
you at, like the at symbol, at Leonardo DiCaprio. At. And mating is, you know, having sex.
I think if you at something on a podcast, I don't think it works the same.
Okay, so let's go back to
If we say hashtag DiCaprio, it doesn't show up somewhere.
No, but at, because then it links back to his account, which, I mean, he clearly doesn't run, but someone does.
We're speaking. It doesn't link back to anything.
But in comments, I don't know, when you put it on, I don't know
how this works. Oh, like when I post something.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so did you take a break from the faith at any point in time?
Yes.
And how long was the break?
A couple of years.
Oh, wow, that's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you felt...
Did you miss the underwear?
I did not have it at that point.
Oh, so you've come back? You've come to the underwear since then?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's after you essentially pass a milestone, you receive it.
What's the milestone?
Yeah. Going to the temple.
Oh.
How old do you have to be to go to the temple? Do you physically go to a temple, or is that a euphemism for something?
No, you physically go to the temple, and they call it taking out your endowment.
You take your endowments out? How old are you?
For me, I did it about a month before I got married. And so most girls do it right before they get married.
God, this is like trying to ask Trump when he's going to concede. How old were you?
How old was I when I got married?
The answer is no, by the way.
24.
Oh, okay.
And so is this temple for married people, or is it, because I know there's like a singles temple, or is it just like an age group temple?
Is there really?
What? No, there's only one. It's right off the White Mud.
But you have a friend who's in like the one that you ages out at 30, right?
So that's a ward. So that's for church.
Oh, okay. A ward. And so, okay, so you took a couple years break. So how old were you when you were on your break?
I would say started happening in high school.
Okay.
I started drinking a little bit, was definitely not dressing modestly. I have a really funny story with that one if you guys want to hear it.
You betcha.
Yeah, this is no place for funny stories.
Yeah, we don't like to laugh at all.
Yeah, if there's one thing that turns people off,
it's humor.
It's mixing religion and humor.
Yeah. So when I was in high school, I was in grade 10 and I had a boyfriend in grade 12. And it was touch of class. And so I wanted to.
It was what?
It's called touch of class. It's the day they dress up.
Oh.
There's a dance, okay. You know?
I again thought it was a euphemism.
Like touching people in the class.
Yeah. No. I was in touching class.
It was the teacher touching the class, you know?
Like, did you guys not go to that one?
I was in touching class, which the weird thing was, it appeared as social studies on my report card.
Okay,
but once I got in there.
Okay, everybody, line up. I'm going to touch you now.
And David's off to become a teacher.
Yeah. I didn't know that was an option.
Nobody would hire him.
You would be, imagine the pressure to get like grade 11 or grade 12 if all you were interested was teaching touching class.
Oh, yeah. I think it's called CALM. Yeah. Career and life.
Because the downside of being the grade 4 touching class teacher.
You know, grade 4? I was thinking high school.
That's what I was saying. I was saying the downside of being like you would want to be in grade 11 or grade 12, or preferably you would be teaching touching class, like to people in like first or second year of university, because they would be more sexually mature
and at least legal.
But if you were the touching class teacher and say you were, because it's not your choice, I don't think you get to choose what class you teach. And they're
I think you do. Would you?
And they're like, okay, you have to start out. At one of the lower grades. Do you know what the worst part of teaching grade 4 touching class would be?
I can't wait to hear the punchline. Yeah.
Being raped in prison.
Anyways, Marissa, what was your story?
Yeah, you were in touching class.
Yeah. So I was at touch of class and I wanted to dress up and look real nice for him.
I mean, obviously.
But I knew my parents wanted me to dress modestly. So I left the house in an outfit that they approved.
And if it's any consolation, that's classic. I've done the same thing, and I'm certainly not a Mormon.
Yeah. And I went over to one of my friend's houses, and I changed into her strapless, barely covering the booty black dress.
This is scandalous.
However, my mom is a teacher.
Oh.
And had an interview at the school that day that I didn't know about. And so I was standing across the way, and I saw her walk in. I texted one of my friends, OF, my mom's here. But I texted it to my mom.
Oh.
And I'm going to say I didn't say F. And my parents also are not into swearing. God.
Were you grounded for life?
Really, was the swearing the worst part of it?
Probably.
Or that you were wearing a tight dress to touching class.
Also, I think that I tried to hide from my mom. You know? But because my mom's friends with a number of the people at our school, I hear over the announcement, Marissa Gilson, come to the front office.
Oh.
And so I had to go to the front office, and my mom and my principal and the assistant principal were waiting there.
Holy.
Were you still wearing the dress?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I didn't have anything else. And my mom ripped me in front of everybody, took me to my gym locker, made me change into my basketball uniform, and then stayed the whole day with me in my classes, because if I wanted attention, she was going to get it for me. So she sat behind me in class, and when there was a question, she'd raise her hand and let them know I would answer it. And then she came. And made me sell tickets at the dance instead of going into the dance, as she went in and chaperoned.
Well, how do you come back from that?
I was going to say, like, I'm not sure. I'm torn between, is that good parenting or terrible parenting?
That's not good parenting.
It's like part of me identifies with her and her choices, but it's like, I don't think I would ever do it.
And how old were you at the time?
I was in grade 10, so I was 15.
Yeah, that's
tough. I mean, I don't believe in public shaming as a parent at this point in time, but
I also wasn't allowed to date at that time, so it was a lot of things all rolled together.
So were you grounded after that?
I think they decided that I had learned the lesson. So.
Yeah,
I
guess. So what did you do to get back at them?
She left the religion for a few years.
Yeah. Never wore a strapless dress again.
So really? what did your parents do when you left the religion? Because you were gone for a couple of years. Like, did they pressure you? Were they sort of accepting of you needing some space?
No. I mean, at the time, I thought I was hiding it very well. I thought that nobody knew. Now, having conversations with my parents and my siblings, everybody knew.
Yeah.
But they kind of realized that was something I needed to go through.
Oh, so when you left the religion, you thought you did it like secretly.
Yeah.
I think it's most children. They think they can pull one over on their parents and it's like, no.
Yeah. My constant worry, cause my daughter's a good kid. My constant thing is like, or is she just pulling something over on me?
Yeah. I think Callie's a genuinely good kid.
Yeah.
I think you can tell these things.
Well, I don't know. Were you a genuinely good kid while you were having your LDS Rumspringa?
No, I don't think I ever was. I've always been a little bit dramatic and a little bit of a brat. Mm. Even when I was little, I shared a room with my younger sister, Daisha. And I remember one day I decided I was just done with her. So I took her bed and I threw it down the stairs and I threw all of her stuff in the hallway.
You were a strong kid.
Yep. And I decided she could find a new place to sleep because I was taking the room.
Did she?
Well, then my parents did let me move into my own room.
Oh, wait. I've met Daisha. She's not that strong. You basically threw like a shoebox down the stairs, didn't you?
It was probably a toddler bed.
Yeah. The crib had wheels on it.
Yeah, so they moved me into another room, and a couple months later, I decided, no, I wanted the room Daisha was in, so I made our parents switch us again, so I had to have the bigger room.
Holy moly.
Daisha's a freaking saint. I don't know how
she that's, no, that's me. Why your mom overreacted to the dress. She'd been holding stuff in.
I feel like Daisha needs some really strong therapy based on this conversation.
You know what? Daisha always says that the reason that she's so funny, which she is, you should probably have her on, cause she's way funnier than I am.
Does she drink?
I don't think so anymore. Is because she has a lot of childhood trauma. And she said the more trauma you have, the funnier you are. So I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on that are. But
no, yeah. I totally agree.
I'd agree. Yeah, I'd agree.
You're not talking to two people who don't identify with that to some extent. Yeah. And we think we're hilarious. So. Okay, so what brought you back to the magic underwear?
So I slowly went down this path. And then in my 20s, I was working. I finished university and I was working for a company.
Terrible company. We won't name names.
And I started dating a guy that was significantly older than me.
What's significant? David's significantly older than me.
I'm not. 14.
Oh, 14
years older?
Yeah. I know. Looking at his pictures now, I'm like, ooh, he's kind of gross and old. But
yeah.
I hope he doesn't hear this one day. He probably will.
He won't.
I'll send it to him after. Yeah,
just he needs to be
How old is he now?
40.
He knows he's gross and old.
But I don't think he thought he was gross and old.
He's
coming to terms with
it. He's getting ready to act out against being gross and old, and he'll have a lot of fun, and then he'll just resign himself to it.
Was that your path?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's all of our paths.
Maybe. I'm not there yet.
Is Sean, though?
I don't think he's old.
No, it's not what you think. It's what he thinks.
I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
But has he started to act out yet?
No.
He hasn't bought a sports car.
Midlife change.
He acted out a lot, but that was like 8 years ago. So no, I'm sure another round's coming.
He was too young
coming.
Then.
No, I think for him, it was kind of, I wouldn't say midlife crisis maybe, but obviously early life crisis because we got married so young. And so I think at some point after we were married for 7 years, he was kind of had that moment of like, why have I settled down? Why have I, like, there's so much more out there, that kind of thing, right? So I kind of think he hit the midlife crisis earlier. Do I think he's not going to hit it again? Who knows? But I definitely think he went through it.
At what point, at what number of midlife crises is it no longer a midlife crisis? Is it just a pattern?
I think if David had one now, it's a pattern.
I think the term midlife crisis, I don't think a midlife crisis is really a thing.
Jen's giving oral to her mic.
I'm getting loose and conversational.
Yeah.
BBC right
keep
here.
Keep licking your mic and see how it sounds.
I was trying to see if my mouth could open wide enough for, you know, some BBC later.
Okay, well, let's see.
No.
No, not even close. Not even close.
Guess I'm going to have to settle for a hand job.
Well, you wouldn't be settling.
Right, fair.
Yeah, he'd be settling. By the way, just as a guy... Those are the worst.
I was going to say, is a hand job that much different than a blow job?
Yes.
What if you spit in your hands first? Yeah.
No,
is it better?
No, there is no such thing as a...
So you use your hand.
Yeah.
So why is it different than when a female uses her hand?
Because I know
you.
What I'm doing.
Fair.
And I'm good at it. And see, that's what the thing where if any woman's like, oh, I'm really good at giving hand jobs. It's like, well, no, he's good at giving hand jobs.
Okay, but could she be good at giving hand jobs?
No.
How many hand jobs? How many different women have given you hand jobs? I'm just wondering if you have enough experience to say whether it's possible or not.
Like literally almost, geez, almost at every woman I met. That's not true.
I haven't given you one.
No.
Marissa definitely hasn't.
Maybe met's not the right word.
I know. Kylie certainly hasn't.
See, look, Jen, you try to teach her about Mike.
I just get animated. I told you after a few drinks, but this is what happened. I warned you.
You lean into your mic. I'd say most women when you're intimate with them or whatever, there's a thing where they first start trying.
Yeah.
And
so you're saying I shouldn't even bother is what you're saying? Can you touch it a little during foreplay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's certain things that you can do to arouse his interest.
Like grinding.
Grinding.
No, like.
But grinding.
Like unsticking it from the things around it, if you will. And unsticking. Kind of loosening everything up and getting it ready. Like if you were going to, like, you know, when you take a knife out of the drawer, right. You kind of swipe it on the thing a few times.
Yeah. So you don't mind.
You know, you tap it on the cutting board and you just get it ready. You can do that.
But so you don't mind playing with it, but you would never sort of come to fruition by it.
Yeah. As well, not, it's never going to be, it's no guy's first choice. I don't know if he's changed his mind, but next week's interviewee, Craig Carter, ask him about it. He had like one of the best things I've ever heard about it. So where it's no, don't bother.
Blowjob or intercourse?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question.
I only ask good ones.
Well, let me ask the two of you first before I give my answer.
I prefer intercourse.
Really?
I thought that was common. No? Marissa? Do you give blowjobs?
Oh, I thought he was saying, do we like to receive it?
Oh,
well, let's ask one question. We'll do one question, and then we'll go around and do the next one. Because Jen knows my answer to one of these. I guess most women would say.
But I'd rather
have sex than blow a guy.
For me, intercourse both ways. I do not enjoy the other. Marissa?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I like a little external stimulation, so I'd probably go with that one.
But, okay. With mouth or fingers?
Oh, not fingers. I don't want your dirty fingers up in me.
Interesting. I don't want your mouth up in me.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Jeez, I feel for you. For me...
Hey, she didn't say her preference. Could you let her finish talking?
Oh, sorry. I thought she did. Yeah.
No, she said she liked a little action there.
Yeah.
So you'd prefer that.
Yeah.
And then giving.
For giving?
No. We'll talk about giving next.
I did both, so she can do both.
Okay, then you do both.
I mean, yeah, I think I'd rather just have sex.
Yeah.
Does the LDS church have an opinion on like how you should have sex?
There's a lot of people that think that there is, but there isn't. This says don't bring another person in.
You can't have a threesome.
Really?
Yeah.
My sister wouldn't last a day.
In no capacity at all?
No.
But okay.
What if the other person's a babysitter?
I think that might make it worse.
What if it's your sister?
Oh, I think that might really be worse.
Okay.
What if you're a guy and it's your girlfriend's mom? Oh, wait, that's not a threesome, though. That's not bringing somebody else in there.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So I think in terms of what I would prefer to receive, it depends on the situation. If it's like the end of the fourth quarter and I'm exhausted and I just need to finish.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's nice if the girl's like, just here, just let me.
Finish you?
Yeah, blow you to finish you. I don't mind that.
Who does a blowjob at the end? Right? Then you have you in you.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah, I'm with her. Especially at the end.
A blowjob's a starter.
Agreed. Yeah.
Oh, see, I understand it is a starter too, but it's also a great finisher.
It's not a dessert. It's only an appetizer.
I just thought you'd prefer finishing.
I do, but sometimes I put a lot into it sometimes, so I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
And it would just be a nice touch.
Do you finish easier one way or another?
It depends. Hmm. It depends. It depends on a lot of things.
Ooh, and this alcohol is hitting me hard.
Is it? Oh, that's good.
I've gone back to Jen at 18 with these vodka slimes, and let me tell you, Jen at 18 is feeling like I feel right now.
Who's Jen at 18?
Jen.
Oh, Jen at 18.
At 18.
Yeah, I thought you said Janet too.
Janet 18 was the band she was in when she was in
high
school.
Maybe that's my alter ego, although who would want to be Janet as an alter ego?
Janet 18 sounds pretty cool. And you know I enjoy the...
the giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that quite a bit.
I do know that. David Which told
this
me
is, this is not the place.
I won't go into the stories, but David told me a story once.
I'll stop this thing and cut it out now.
You've got the power. All I'm going to say is David told me a story once many, many moons ago, and he always forgets that he told me. And he'll try to bullshit me, and I'll
be like,
I think
I remembered now.
He'll try to bullshit me, and I'll be like, no, I know. And he's like, how do you know that?
I don't even know what I told you.
I'm like, you fucking told me. Oh, you must have been like heavily under the influence at the time.
What was I thinking?
Not only like a friend, but also like the. You've told stories to?
No, you're more a friend than a d-
Anyways, it's funny. So every once in a while, I'll be like,
now oh, you're David. Podcast co-host.
Now I'm podcast co-host. Yeah. So anyways, I know more about David than he remembers most of the time.
Do you ever find it hard to separate being his a- and being his friend?
Long pause. No. I think in terms of no.
Yeah.
Maybe I should. Okay, that's enough for me. Thank you. Yeah. For me.
Not for me. I can have one more in 20 minutes if we're still here. I forgot white Russians don't really. No, of course, I'm saying that now. And
I think David, as a obviously a great, so there's been no issues in that regard.
In case anybody's wondering, I'm a
In terms of, yeah, no. So I would say no. Has it caused me issues before? Yes. I've had to fire someone I considered a friend who was, and that was pretty terrible, but I did it. I mean, I can do my job at the end of the day, but David's obviously never been something I had to do my job for. So
yeah. And I've had friends I've worked with before, and it's never been an issue. Right. Or I've either worked for them or worked with them, or they worked for me, or things like that. And a lot of people will tell you that you shouldn't be friends with people that you work with, but there's a natural, you know, like similarities creates friendships. Right. And when you work with people and you have that similarity, but then on a value wise basis, sense of humor, like a whole bunch of other things, friendships are natural. But yeah. I think one of the things that makes you a things like that is the ability to separate everything and to know that there's times where you have to do your job. And I think especially, you know, I think that's one interesting thing about my job is I can go weeks without really doing my job. There's,
ooh, I don't know if this is the forum
no, to no, say that. No, let me explain. Let me explain. There's duties I do throughout the day, right? Like there's things I do.
Well, and you're paid to be, if there's an emergency, you will be there. Yeah, to there's responsibility. Right?
And making certain decisions and making, you know, setting strategy and doing things like that. And people don't see you doing that day to day.
Yeah.
But then when something happens, when the phone rings at 2 a.m, or when something happens and you may have to terminate something, or a pandemic ruins the world and you have to let everybody go, then...
Well, it's kind of like captaining a ship. At the end of the day, the ship is still moving. It's just that sometimes you need to steer it, right? But you're always there in case it needs to be steered,
right? And I think the goal of a lot of people in my position or positions like this, or director of HR, stuff like that, is to create an environment and processes and a culture that's successful. You aren't necessarily turning a wheel every day to make that happen. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but when things fall off the rails, you do it. Anyway, we got to get back to talking about LDS and all the dirty little secrets.
It just didn't sound that exciting for a minute there, but Marissa, what's your dirtiest secret?
We don't need to ask her dirty. We got to the point where she had just we'd gotten to the point where she had just decided to take a step back from.
Yeah. So you married Jared, who is
she didn't right away marry Jared.
She's
in high school.
She was already out. I asked her how she came back in. So you came back in because.
Well, wait a minute. We can't talk about coming back in.
You want to talk about the crazy shit?
Yeah,
you
I want to talk about the crazy shit you did
during your Rumspringa.
So I was dating that guy that was quite a bit older than
14 year older. Yeah. I was going to say, what's his name? But don't tell me. I'll start stalking him.
Did you enjoy dating him?
I'll show you after.
Okay.
I think he was really good for me, and I think I needed to grow up a lot at that time.
He probably showed you a few things in the bedroom.
He didn't show me.
Oh, he was a nubbin. I had one of those.
He didn't show me very much.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are so hard. Every podcast we have, you guys knock on guys with small dicks.
God. Actually, I have said repeatedly that it's not the size, it's how you use it.
And then you say the last thing you want is a nubbin.
I mean.
Anyway, you were talking about your boyfriend with the small dick.
But yeah, he really he really kind of pushed me outside the limits that I was used to, got me to feel that I wasn't, you know, making these horrible decisions by drinking and by figuring myself out.
Yeah.
He convinced me that I needed to go to therapy to deal with a trauma that I had gone through.
Where'd you meet this guy?
He was one of my bosses at the place I was working.
Fantastic.
So
every HR director's dream.
Well, yeah. That wasn't great. There was a couple of years that I was with him.
You were with him for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then at one point of our relationship, I was drinking very heavily to the point where it was helping me function and it was the only thing that made me feel good, and it was the only way that I was dealing with the anxiety and the depression that I was struggling with.
If it's any consolation, that's most people. Yeah. So good for you for getting out of it.
And so he had kind of said, whoa, I think you might need to slow down. And him saying it really hit me because I was like, whoa, you're kind of as far away as it can be. And so for you to say it means there's probably something really there. And so then I kind of took a pause. I ended up getting back together with the guy that I had a very rough relationship with when I was 18.
Was he LDS or not?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I was going to marry him multiple times.
What do you
mean
by rough?
Is this the one your sister's married to?
No, it is not.
Okay.
That was a very emotionally, psychologically, slightly physically abusive relationship. But I got back together with him because I thought, you know, I've progressed so much. He's probably progressed so much. I'm not going to be able to get over this relationship until I see if there's anything there. And we got back together and we were together over the summer. I kind of pulled him away from the church, actually.
What a little bad bit. Influence.
Yep. And then one day I just kind of realized I didn't like who I was. I didn't like the relationship I was in. I was still spiraling into this depression and this anxiety. I didn't know how to deal with it. And so I kind of stopped. And
so were you drinking at this point in time, or had you already stopped drinking?
I wasn't drinking, but I was just kind of flailing in the wind with everything else. So I just kind of said, hey, if I put it out to God and the universe or whatever I believed in at the time and said, if this isn't where I'm supposed to be, put something in my path.
Oh my God, did you get a sign from God?
Yeah, the next day I walked into one of our churches on White Ave, and I just had like the strongest feeling, you need to go talk to that guy. And I...
Who's that guy?
It was Jared from behind. I hadn't seen his face.
So you saw his ass?
Just the back of his head he was sitting.
Oh, okay. You can't even see his ass.
Yeah. And he was a football player, so he's got a pretty nice booty there.
Oh my God. No wonder you got married so quickly. You literally thought God put this guy in your path.
Yeah. I told my roommate the whole time. I'm like, what if he's super ugly from the front? Because she came with me.
And okay. Then, so you see... He wasn't. So you're in church, you see Jared, and you think what?
I thought, honestly, I didn't think like I'm going to marry this guy or anything. Yeah. I just thought, this is my sign. This is my distraction to get me out of the relationship I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Was enough for you.
Yeah. Okay, and then he stood up and I realized he was really tall, which I know people don't like to say guys over 6 foot are nice, but guys over 6 feet are nice.
Who says that? People say that?
Guys under 6 feet say that.
Oh, fair enough.
I used to be over 6 feet and now I'm under 6 feet for some reason. I think both are okay.
Yeah, and then I started hanging out with Jared kind of against his will.
Against his will?
Yeah, I showed up at his house for dinner.
Has anybody hung out with you, David, against your will?
I don't think so, no.
No. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, and then Jared just thought he was in it for, you know, a couple makeouts and
whatever. What a bad whatever. Mormon. You can't just be in it for a couple makeouts.
Actually, Mormon LDS people have a saying. It's called NOCMO, non-committal makeouts. And it's actually a very like popular term.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, wait a minute. We glossed over this NOCMO.
Yeah.
So like, can married people
NOCMO
with each other?
No, but it's a huge, and we call it single adult ward. So it's anybody from 18 to 30 that's not married.
Why would you have to stop when you're 30?
That's the dating bracket they give you.
So then you're a spinster and you're just like ostracized?
You go back to family ward. So yeah, you start going to church with married people and there's activities you can do.
This is like the weirdest religion ever.
I don't know if it's the weirdest.
Because at some point somebody had to come up with this.
Yes.
But I don't know what we should do? We'll let people make out and it doesn't mean anything. What if they're 30? Well, not if they're 30.
I think it's because they don't want, you know, the people that make it to, you know, 35 or 40 and they're still single going after the 17, 18 year old
girls.
But
here's the catch is now you've got single 30 year old women in with the married couples providing temptation.
Yeah. So that's where I'd want to NOCMO.
Ooh, look at that new spinster that came in. She's pretty hot.
You know, in 3 months, she's turning 30.
Yeah.
I hear she NOCMOs like I don't know what the LDS term for motherfucker is, but.
It's probably still motherfucker. All right. So you NOCMO'd with Jared for a while.
No, it wasn't NOCMO.
Yeah, she was.
That's what Jared thought it was.
But they were NOCMOing, were you not?
There, I had some other people on the go too, so it definitely was.
She fell in love with the back of his head.
So you were NOCMOing all over the place.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to NOCMO multiple people?
It's pretty common. So, I mean, Jared knew. I told him I had a bench.
A bench.
When we decided to be exclusive.
What does the bench mean?
You know, you've got your starting lineup, but you always got a couple extra guys on the bench.
I thought physically there was a bench.
You've got a bench.
Like in the temple.
Remember your bench of people that are lining up?
No, like backup plans, you know?
A bench, yeah. I gotcha.
I don't have a bench. I feel like I need a bench now.
Like I don't think your husband would like that.
I don't think you would like it either, but I mean, you need options, right? I mean, I guess you're married now. You don't have options anymore. I mean, your celebrity list is two people, so it's like you're not even trying.
Yeah, I'll work on that for you.
Thank you.
No, her celebrity list was one person.
No, she had two. It's just that you said actor, so it eliminated Adam Levine. It's like you don't pay attention.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I met Jared September 11th. We started dating sometime in October-ish. And then we got engaged in March and got married in July, and the rest is kind of...
Wait, you gotta put years to this. Like, how many years?
All the same year.
Oh, Jesus.
So Jared brought you really, or lured you back into the religion. You saw his head and you're like, I need to go back.
He dragged you back into the religion.
I need to go back into religion.
Kicking and screaming. No, just kidding. Yeah. Yeah, I think Jared was really good for that. He was really understanding and he was really different than a lot of the other people that I had associated with. within the church, and kind of, I don't know, maybe a couple weeks into knowing him, I unloaded on him everything I had been through and everything I had done. And
he was cool with it?
Yeah, I broke down crying, told him I didn't think we should be together because he hadn't done any of that stuff. And he
done
said,
any of that stuff?
So you said that no. Because you felt you were guilty, you had guilt, or you felt he was naive?
I think I just felt like we were on different levels and that he deserved somebody that had like waited to have sex to be married to him and hadn't, you know, done the things that I'd done.
I feel like he'd want an experienced woman to show him what to do.
Well, I don't know how experienced I am. I'd still say I'm a, you know, solid 4.
I mean, how many partners have you had?
4, including Jared.
See, same here.
Pretty close number.
Jeez.
Yeah, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's admirable. So.
But not really experienced, I guess.
Yeah, but you don't get experience from having multiple partners.
I feel like you taste different things.
Because experience isn't about knowing what other people want. You talked about this when Kylie was here. Experience is knowing about what you want.
I guess.
But how do you know what you want if you've never...
Well, if you were curious about something and you asked Jared to do it, would he do it?
I mean, there's a whole limit, but yeah.
A whole limit. Same with my husband. There's a whole limit.
Well, yeah, we're not. I think there's. Honestly. I wasn't asking that.
Well, say Jared would do anything to me that I wanted. Jared would not let me do anything to him that I wanted.
So I guess question.
Do you guys ever experiment? Like, yeah.
Do you guys have a healthy dialogue around your sexual preferences?
I think we're working on it and learning. Yeah. I think that's.
Well, that's what you do.
Something that a lot of people, not even just religious people, struggle with, right?
I was going to say, I think we struggle with that. I think because when you get together so young, for us, it's not something that, especially back in that day, that was, I guess, really talked about or really like out in the open. So I think we're struggling to figure it out even now, 20 years later, right?
Well, and I think you have a couple bad experiences and then it makes you a little timid.
I didn't really have bad experiences, but yeah.
I don't know if anybody's watched Grey's Anatomy, but yeah. Lexi Grey breaks one of the guy's penises.
Yeah.
I've been terrified of that happening ever since I watched that.
I don't think it happens very commonly. Well.
We talked about that last week.
I don't remember what we talk about week to week, quite frankly. I'm usually drunk, so.
I mean, I don't think you should let that stop you.
No.
And then how many different things are you going to do that's going to break a guy's dick?
Well, I guess the question is, are you satisfied? And if you are, then great. And if not, then.
But eventually you won't be.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to keep the wheels greased.
Yeah.
Although I will say we're not great at it.
You got to keep trying new things.
Yeah. It always seems like an awkward conversation. I don't know. Maybe it's just me and maybe being married young, but it always feels like an awkward conversation to talk about your sexual desires so openly.
Yeah.
What, you mean here or with your husband?
With my husband.
Because you also don't want anyone to feel like they're not doing enough.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe that's why you step out then, right? Like maybe I'm not encouraging, but I was saying maybe that's why it happens.
I think, but being raised as a female, I think as a female to start with, I don't think you're encouraged to explore your sexuality, A. I think B, maybe getting married young. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't pay into it. And then see, it always feels like an awkward conversation. And I don't know if maybe it's because of religious reasons or because you're a female, you're not allowed to talk about that, but it definitely feels like something. Do you and Caroline talk about it openly?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think that her and I realize that it's a long, you know, like I think one of the misconceptions, by the way, this is another great thing to talk about with Craig about next week. So maybe put a pin in it and remember to ask. Okay. But how do you, when you have two partners who maybe have not conflicting, but don't necessarily enjoy the same things.
Hmm.
That can be a little bit, but you just need spice, I think, every now and then.
So what spice?
Like cayenne.
Cayenne. Oh, yeah, that sounds like it might hurt, actually.
Like I think her and I, it's funny because, you know, we've been together for a few years now. And I would say I had a previous partner who there was a real connection, like from the beginning. Right?
So that chemistry.
Yeah, the chemistry and the idea that we both realized right away that we enjoyed the same things and that we could really go without a lot of limits.
Yeah.
And that was great. But the rest of the relationship didn't do well, right? And I would say I care about Caroline and I want to make her happy. And I think we have great intimacy.
And do you find that she's open talking about it?
She is. But I think that level of knowing the limits, and it's weird. I think one of the things is, I don't feel as good doing certain things to her as maybe I do with other people because in some ways I kind of care about her too much. And I don't know that doing something disrespectful to her is something that she would enjoy.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, it is. It is. And, but I know when we've done a couple things and then I felt bad about it afterwards.
Well, that's not a good feeling.
Yeah. Because, yeah. And it's because she's saying, no, I enjoy this. No, it's something you do it. And she's saying it, but I see her reaction in the moment. And if your partner, if you're doing something and your partner's not really enjoying it, like you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Or you kind of do, and then you feel bad about it afterwards. Yeah. So it makes it a long, so it's not that we don't enjoy the things we do, and it's not that we don't try new things, but I think it makes, like there's a lot to discover with each other, even now. And that's part of the fun when you have a partner, right? I guess. I think being able to talk about it and try new things and knowing that there's certain situations where you'll try other things. I think the biggest thing with her and I right now, and I would imagine, how long you and Jared been together?
We just celebrated 4 years together, but only 3.5 years married. Mm-hmm. So it depends which way you want to go.
Usually those numbers aren't so close together. So oddly enough, you've been together about, well, not as long as Caroline and I, but you've been married as long as Caroline and I've been together. And you've, you know, been since
Christ was a cowboy.
Yeah. And but even now, it's the challenge is to not fall into a rut.
For sure. I mean, right? We're definitely, but we've got kids at home too, which.
And it's comfortable and
dampens it. Cause I do think that we both, there's the opportunity or not the desire to be more experimental. There's the desire, I think, at least on my part, and maybe it's not something we've talked about, to be more experimental, but there doesn't seem to be the opportunity at this point in time. But honestly, it's probably the one area of conversation that I am most shy to discuss. So yeah.
Well, not with us. You're not.
No. That's true.
I think it's easier with people that aren't involved in the situation.
For sure. It doesn't feel as intimate or as vulnerable.
All right. We're just going to fade Jen out and bring up a little music. Yeah, that's nice. Well, this is the end of this episode, but we've still got more Marissa. Join us again in our next episode to hear the rest. Thanks for listening and stay safe, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Loose and Conversational podcast. Catch us every week at looseandconversational.com. You can reach us through the website or email directly at opaq72@looseandconversational.com. That's O as in hour, H as in hour, P as in pseudonym, E as in urn, U as in urn, K as in knob, E as in I as in eye, W as in right, 72@looseandconversational, spelt just like it sounds. Bye, everyone.